This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Satterberg back here with you. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We have hit the end of the first quarter in Dallas, or Arlington, if you will. The Cowboys and the Vikings are knotted at 7. And right now your live line is Cowboys minus 8.5. They did close as 4.5-point favorites here at Circa. Cowboys minus 8.5 on the live line, total of 55.5. Game closed with a total of 47.5. Week 15 will conclude tomorrow night with Monday Night Football from Pittsburgh. The Steelers hosting the Miami Dolphins. Currently, the Pittsburgh Steelers are a 3-point favorite with a total of 42.5. And joining us now on the Progressive Guest Line to preview that game is Ray Fittipaldo, covering the Steelers for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Ray, thanks so much for giving us a couple minutes here on Live Bet Sunday. And let's start with the fluke scenario that occurred earlier this week, the injury to J.J. Watt, a partially punctured lung. What exactly happened here, and how long do the Steelers expect to be without T.J. Watt?
Well, first, the good news. This is not going to end T.J. Watt's season. He is going to be back. I can't tell you if that's going to be next week in Detroit or after Christmas, but he will be back this season. And, Scott, it was just a fluke injury. They were doing something called dry needling on him. It's an alternative form of therapy. It helps players recover after games. So it's quite commonplace throughout the NFL, but I don't know that it's known by fans as much until something like this happens.
Yeah, I likened it to kind of like acupuncture or something like that, you know, and so unfortunately one of those needles went a little bit too deep. But hey, we're glad that TJ is going to be fine, and he is going to be out this game, at least we know for a fact. How do the Steelers' defense adjust without him on the field?
Yeah, I mean, listen, they are actually well-positioned to absorb this loss, certainly better than they have been in years past. You know, I'm sure you're aware of the stats. Steelers are 1-11 when T.J. Watt has missed games. They went out and got Jack Sawyer in the draft from Ohio State, fourth-round pick, 6'5", 270. He'll be able to set the edge in the running game against the Dolphins, which will be really important. So he'll be coming off the bench. And, you know, really, Nick Herbig is going to step in and start. Nick Herbig has 6.5 sacks this year. T.J. Watt leads the team with 7. So Nick Herbig has been every bit as disruptive as T.J. Watt has been this year. So I think the big concern, obviously, is, you know, Nick Herbig is probably 10, 15 pounds lighter than TJ. You're playing one of the best running teams in the NFL in the Miami Dolphins. Certainly, you can make an argument the best running team there is in the NFL right now over the past month. So Steelers have been having their struggles against the run. 249 on the ground against the Bills, 217 last week in Baltimore. They got to tighten up this week against the Dolphins.
What's the weather going to be like? Because we have heard so many people reference Tua playing in the cold weather and how it's been a disaster for him in his career and how that could be a big advantage to the Steelers playing at home here on Monday night. What are we expecting to see weather-wise tomorrow night?
Yeah, anywhere between 12 and 15 degrees.
Oh, that's
with
it?
The wind chill.
That's it? No, that's nothing.
And with the wind chill, we're going to be in single digits. Now, we all know Tua's record. It is what it is. I will give Mike McDaniel and the Dolphins credit. They flew into Pittsburgh on Saturday night. They practiced out at Robert Morris University at 9 o'clock in the snow. They put some stuff on their X account. So they are doing everything they can to break that little hex, coming up early, acclimating themselves to the weather. So we'll see if it makes any difference. But, yeah, usually a team coming from South Florida to Pittsburgh this time of year, things don't go well. I think this is going to be the coldest game, actually, regular season game for the Steelers since that game where they honored Franco Harris, I think back in 2022 or 2023.
Wow.
They beat the Raiders on December 23rd. So it's going to be every bit as cold as it was then.
Yeah, Tua 0-5 in his career when it's below 40 degrees. It's going to be a lot colder than that here in this game, Ray. As we're talking to Ray Fittipaldo, covering the Steelers for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm Scott Seidenberg. Ray joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. It's Live Bet Sunday on VSiN. What changed, Ray, last week with this Steelers offense where they had not been pushing the football down the field, but yet all of a sudden against the Ravens last game, it was Aaron Rodgers throwing it deep to DK Metcalf. Was that something that, you know, was talked about with the offense and something that they wanted to change and address, and that's why we saw more of an open passing game last game?
Yeah, I think it was twofold. The Steelers got off the bus wanting to be aggressive in that football game. And then the other side of the coin is, you know, the Ravens gave them coverages where they could take advantage of that. You know, the story of the Steelers season is, you know, they're kind of one-dimensional in the passing game. They got DK Metcalf and not a lot after him in the receiving core. And teams have been playing them very conservative. You know, play two deep safety. They're not going to let DK beat him over the top. But the Ravens, for whatever reason, played single high safety. And they were manning up on him in the outside. And, you know, obviously DK had his best game of the season, 148 receiving yards. Aaron Rodgers had his best passing game of the season, 284. So they finally got the big play going as a part of their offense. We'll see if they can keep it up against the Dolphins. The Dolphins actually have a pretty decent pass defense, not so much run defense. So Steelers might have to manufacture a win in a different way this week, but it was very good for that offense to get off the big play tonight and finally push the ball down the field a little bit.
Has there been any more conversation with the tight ends? You know, I remember Aaron Rodgers came out and said he wanted Pat Freiermuth to be on the field more. Well, Freiermuth had three receptions. Obviously, he had that miscommunication with Jonnu Smith, and whether or not Jonnu Smith was in the doghouse or not, Jonnu Smith didn't have a catch in that game against the Ravens. But then Darnell Washington did leave the game. He was banged up. So has there been more conversation about the tight end rotation?
Well, the good news for the Steelers is, and I don't know how much they're going to play him, but Darnell Washington cleared the concussion protocol today, so he will be in the lineup. We'll see if he takes his normal number of snaps. He's been their number one tight end all season and a huge part of their running game. So that's good news for the Steelers. If they do want to pass the ball a little bit against the Dolphins, I think you'll see Pat Freiermuth and Jonnu Smith involved a little bit more. But honestly, Scott, neither of those guys have really developed a lot of chemistry with Aaron Rodgers this season. Aaron Rodgers has more chemistry with Darnell Washington, and Darnell Washington is their designated run-blocking tight end. So not exactly sure why that's come down the way it's come down this year, but they're paying Freiermuth, I think, $12 or $13 million a year. They're paying Jonnu like $8 or $9 million a year. They're certainly not getting their bang for their buck when it comes to their tight end group.
Well, where they are getting the bang for their buck is with Kenneth Gainwell, who comes over from the Philadelphia Eagles and has been a revelation in this Steelers offense to the point, Ray, where he's getting, if not a snap share, he's getting sometimes the majority of the snaps compared to Jaylen Warren. Do we think that continues here as they play out the remainder of these games in the season? Do we expect to see Gainwell on the field more than Warren?
Yeah, I mean, it's been that way all season. I don't know about more, Scott, but certainly, if you look at the stats right now, I'm guessing it would be close to 50-50 in terms of their snaps. Maybe not their rushes, but, you know, they love Kenneth Gainwell as a third down back. He's really good in pass pro, and he's really good as a receiver out of the backfield. And, you know, the same goes for Jaylen Warren. Jaylen Warren made his bones in this league as a pass-protecting third down back and a good receiver out of the backfield. They're just using him on first and second downs this year because they have that luxury in Kenneth Gainwell performing the same role. So they really like both of those guys. Kind of the story of the year for Steelers running backs is they invested a third round pick in Caleb Johnson out of Iowa. Caleb Johnson can't even get on the field. That's how well Kenneth Gainwell and Jaylen Warren are playing. They're really happy with the way those two guys are performing week to week.
Yeah, 374 snaps for Warren, 348 for Kenneth Gainwell. This is a 50-50 rotation right now in the Steelers' backfield. Final thing, Ray, when you look at how this division could play out, obviously this game, you got to start racking up wins, right? You can't afford to drop any games. But the Steelers at 7-6, if they win, they'll be 8-6. They already have that head-to-head win against the Ravens with that matchup coming up at the end of the season. Is it as simple to say the division is the Steelers to lose right now?
Yeah, Scott. I mean, when you look at it, all the Steelers have to do is go 2-2. So long as one of those wins is against the Ravens in Week 18, and they're in, because they would hold the tiebreaker over the Ravens, having swept them during the regular season. The other thing the Steelers have going in their benefit, you know, they do go to the Lions next week. That'll be a tough game. But they get the Browns after that, whereas the Ravens, they got to play a Patriots team that's going to be fighting for a division title next week, and the Packers the week after that on the road, also probably playing for the division title. So Ravens have a much more difficult schedule. It might only take two or three wins, and depending on when they come, Scott, that Week 18 game might not even mean anything for the Steelers if they take care of their business.
Although, you know, Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season, right? You never heard that before, right, Ray?
Well, I've never heard that.
Ray, I appreciate the time and the insight. Enjoy the game tomorrow, and we'll continue to follow along.
Thanks, Scott. Appreciate you having me on.
There he is, Ray Fittipaldo, covering the Steelers for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Currently, Steelers 3-point favorites over the Miami Dolphins on Monday Night Football with a total of 42.5. We'll update you on what's going on in Sunday Night Football coming up next. I'm Scott Satterberg. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
J.J. McCarthy slinging it all over the field. He completed a long pass down the field to Jordan Addison for 58 yards, put the Vikings in business deep in Cowboys territory. He did throw a touchdown pass, but it was called back due to a penalty. And so the Vikings do have the football still deep in Cowboys territory. There's about 10 minutes to go here in the first half. It is now fourth and goal on the goal line. So we'll see what Kevin O'Connell decides to do. Does he take the points or does he go for it and is aggressive here? As it was J.J. McCarthy who ran the ball and got tackled at the goal line, unable to get it into the end zone. Cowboys lead 14-7, but the Vikings are facing a fourth and goal at the 1 yard line. And it looks like McCarthy's staying on the field and they are going to go for it here on fourth and goal. After this play, we will update you on what the market has done, what the live line is based off of what happens here on this one play. I wanted to go over the divisional odds. Now that we have had the conclusion of the majority of these Week 15 games, obviously we have Sunday Night Football here that needs to be concluded, and neither of these teams are really in contention here for the division. Wow, naked bootleg and J.J. McCarthy walks into the end zone. Cash your J.J. McCarthy anytime touchdown ticket. A rushing touchdown for J.J. McCarthy. Wow. Wide open as everybody collapsed on the running back. Fake handoff on the naked bootleg. And McCarthy just goes walking into the end zone. Actually strutting. He did a little gritty kind of going into the end zone there. So the Minnesota Vikings down 14-13 with the extra point pending, and they will tie the game at 14, assuming this kick is up and good, which it is. So let's take a look at the live line right now here on Sunday Night Football, and we are at where we were spread-wise pregame. Cowboys, 5.5-point favorites. Actually, here at Circa, it closed at 4.5. There was minus fives in some spots, even a couple of 5.5s. In the market as well, but here at Circa, it did close at Cowboys minus 4.5. We are at Cowboys minus 5.5 right now on your live line with a live total of 60.5. Maybe the play in this game was just to bet the over, like we talked about earlier with our guest AJ Hoffman previewing that game Has he liked the over 47.5? And we have a live total of 60.5 right now. 14-14 is the score between the Minnesota Vikings and the Dallas Cowboys. All right, let's take a look at the divisional odds. And this game, not going to matter for the divisional odds, but you know we'll still talk about it and how it could play out. And we have the Monday Night Football game, of course, between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Miami Dolphins. Only the Steelers are really in the mix here for a division. So here are your current odds right now. And I'm using DraftKings for these odds. Obviously, shop around and see what you can, you know, what you can find out there. The Ravens are minus 125 favorites to win the AFC North. The Steelers plus 105. This is very interesting because right now the Steelers are a field goal favorite at home on Monday Night Football against the Miami Dolphins. A win in that game by the Pittsburgh Steelers improves their record to 8-7. Excuse me, 8-6. Okay. At 8-6 and in first place, they also, because of the head-to-head, have the tiebreaker for now over the Baltimore Ravens, who are 7-7. Now we look ahead to the next couple of matchups. The Pittsburgh Steelers will take on the Detroit Lions in Detroit, where they will be underdogs to the Detroit Lions. But then they host the Cleveland Browns. They go to Cleveland to face off against the Browns. But they will be favored on the road at Cleveland. Cleveland's not going to be favored over the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're just not. Even though the Steelers don't exactly have the highest market power rating right now, they'll still be a favorite at the Cleveland Browns. Could be close, but they'll be favored. So we have a game, one game, and then obviously we'll talk about the Ravens matchup at the end of the season. But they have one game at Detroit. They'll be dogs, and they'll be favored at the Cleveland Browns. That's where we sit for the next two games for the Pittsburgh Steelers after this Monday Night Football game against the Miami Dolphins, which we are giving them the win because they are favored in. The Ravens, meanwhile, the Ravens next week will play against the New England Patriots. Right now, the line on that game, the Ravens are at home. The Ravens over the Patriots right now is a 2.5-point spread. Ravens are 2.5-point favorites at home over the New England Patriots. The next game after that, the Ravens will go to Green Bay to play the Packers, where they will be underdogs at the Packers. So, for the next 2 weeks, both teams have the same scenario, where they will be favored in one game, and they will be dogs in one game. The problem is, for the Baltimore Ravens, they could lose that game to New England, even though they're favored. There's a real chance that they lose as favorites to New England. And then if they lose as dogs to Green Bay, they're out of the division. But if everything plays out according to the spreads, and these teams go into the final game of the season, which is in Pittsburgh, by the way, where it'll be Pittsburgh and Baltimore, where Pittsburgh will have one more win than Baltimore. Not only will that line be very, very close because it's in Pittsburgh, right? So you can decide right now, is it going to be minus 125 because that's where we are in the division? We'll see. But winning that game might not be good enough for the Baltimore Ravens because it's going to come down to additional tiebreakers. Right now in the division, the Steelers are 3-1. The Steelers go into that final game with only one divisional loss. The Ravens go into that final game with two divisional losses. If the Ravens win, they both have two divisional losses. Then it's going to come down to the next tiebreaker after that, and then possibly after that. It's just a lot has to happen. Whereas for the Steelers, it's a lot simpler. I don't want to lay minus 125 on a team where I need a lot of things to happen in order for them to win the division. To me, you're getting a plus money price on the Steelers right now where they're in the driver's seat, yeah, I like that right now. Maybe it's not an official play, but like I would not bet the Ravens at minus 125. In the NFC West, Rams are minus 155, the Seahawks plus 195, and the 49ers are 7-1. There's still a chance for the 49ers in this division. The Rams and Seahawks will play each other on Thursday, where the Seahawks are a 1.5-point favorite. Now, why are they a 1.5-point favorite? Well, they're home, and because Davante Adams is not going to play after injuring his hamstring here in this game on Sunday. But based off what I saw from the Seahawks in this disgusting win over Phillip Rivers and the Colts, I don't trust them against a good team. And yes, you could say that in the last game that they played against the Rams, Sam Darnold threw 4 interceptions, and they were still in a position to kick a game-winning field goal. But I'll remind you that those 4 interceptions for Sam Darnold is not a fluke. Because Sam Darnold against Sean McVay has been horrific. He had the worst game in the playoffs last year when he was with the Vikings taking on the Rams. And then the first game he plays against them this year, absolutely terrible. Now I'm supposed to think that he's going to turn it around when we haven't seen it before? If this Seahawks offense could not score a single touchdown against the Colts defense that was missing their top 2 cornerbacks, how are they going to score against this Rams defense? Another reason why I like the under in this game. But if the Rams win, they are in firm control here of the division. For the 49ers, here's what they need to happen at 7-1. They beat the Seahawks earlier this season. They split with the Rams. So if the Seahawks beat the Rams, the 49ers will still be alive because then they play the Seahawks the last game of the season. They need the Seahawks to win. Problem is, I just don't think the Seahawks are going to win. We'll talk about some other divisional games coming up here in just a moment. If you missed it the first time, though, good news, because we're giving you one last chance to score an unforgettable Vegas weekend at Circa Resort and Casino. Right now, the first 100 new VSiN Pro annual subscribers who sign up using the promo code CIRCA will receive a free 3-night stay at Circa Resort and Casino January 2nd through the 5th, plus a day bet at Stadium Swim. The pools are heated during the final weekend of the NFL regular season. You'll also save 50% off the monthly price and get a full year of VSiN Pro, which includes the daily best bets, the betting splits, the AI prop tools, 24/7 video, and all the betting guides as well. So this is your last chance. Don't wait. Lock in your spot now at VSiN.com/circa. Make sure you use promo code CIRCA.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here on Live Bet Sunday, I'm Scott Satterberg on VSiN, the sports betting network. Always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir and at VSiN Live as we continue to monitor the action here on Sunday Night Football, where the Dallas Cowboys miss a field goal. And so the score remains tied at 14 between the Cowboys and the Minnesota Vikings. Vikings will take over. They got the ball at the Cowboy 38-yard line with 5 minutes to go here in the first half. Here is your live line right now. The Cowboys closed here at Circa at 4.5-point favorites with a total of 47.5. And currently on your live line, it is the Cowboys -2.5 with a total of 58.5. Taking a look inside the box score here with about 5 minutes remaining in the first half for J.J. McCarthy, who did throw an interception on his first pass attempt. It was deflected, and then he threw an interception. He is 6 of 9 for 125 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. Aaron Jones, 5 carries for 16 yards. Jordan Mason, 5 carries for 14 yards. So really no running game whatsoever here against a much improved Cowboys run defense. Jordan Addison has 2 catches for 66 yards. Aaron Jones out of the backfield, 3 catches for 31 yards. Justin Jefferson held without a catch, as I'm sure a lot of fantasy owners here in the first round of the playoffs are not happy about. Meanwhile, for the Dallas Cowboys, Dak Prescott, 6 of 11 passing for 87 yards. And their top runner has been Malik Davis, 6 carries for 17 yards and a touchdown. Javonte Williams, 6 carries for 13 yards and a touchdown. And receiving-wise, CeeDee Lamb, 3 catches for 51 yards. Ryan Flournoy, 2 catches for 29 yards. George Pickens has been held without a catch. And I got to be honest, for a game that is 14-14, we don't have a lot of stats here. This is like, it's a very strange 14-14 game. Because neither one of these teams is putting up big numbers. Now, McCarthy's starting to add to his numbers, of course, because obviously he was aided by that big throw. Now he's throwing and moving down the field. But we have 128 yards of offense for the Cowboys, 180 yards of offense now for the Minnesota Vikings, 10 first downs for the Cowboys, 9 first downs for the Vikings, as both teams, not a lot of penalties either. 2 penalties for the Vikings, just 1 for the Dallas Cowboys. Time of possession is pretty even here in this game. So a very evenly played game so far here in the first half, and the Vikings would be very smart to milk as much time as possible off the clock here, because the Cowboys are in a very, very advantageous spot. If the Cowboys are in an opportunity here to get the final possession of the first half and the first possession of the third quarter. So it's very important, regardless of what the outcome of this drive is, the Cowboys are still in an extremely advantageous spot. Again, if they hold the Vikings to a field goal, great. Even if they give up a touchdown, whatever. They want the Cowboys want the final possession of the first half, and then they have the first possession of the third quarter. So if I'm the Minnesota Vikings, yeah, there's 3 minutes to go here in the first half, but I'm milking this possession because I want to see if I can have the final possession of the first half or take as much time as I can off the clock so that when after I score, after this possession's over, I give the Cowboys as little time as possible to get a drive at the end of the first half. A little interesting situation going on right now. There was a penalty on the play, and there was actually a penalty on the Cowboys defender. A little scuffle after the whistle here, and it appeared to be a one of those open hand punches to the helmet that was flagged for unsportsmanlike or unnecessary roughness. So the Minnesota Vikings now have the ball on the 11-yard line. First down at the 11-yard line for the Minnesota Vikings, with under 3 minutes to go here in the first half. And on your live line right now, it is creeping down. Cowboys minus 1.5. I'll tell you where I'd be interested. I need to see, the Vikings are going to score here. It's just a matter of how much time is going to be left after they score. Because I'd be interested in going in on the Cowboys after the Vikings score here. Because again, if there's enough time, you know, especially with Brandon Aubrey, with the ability for him to kick deep field goals, the Cowboys don't need to gain that many yards after a kickoff in order to get into field goal range. And yes, he did just miss a field goal, so no one's automatic. But in terms of the opportunity to get points, the Cowboys will get a kickoff here from the Vikings. And at the end of the first half, I'm almost going to pencil them in for 3 points. And then when they get the first possession of the third quarter, I'm going to almost essentially pencil them in for 3 points. Now, could they get stopped and could they punt? Of course it could happen. But as far as like we know about Brandon Aubrey's capabilities, dude can kick a 60-yard field goal. And then especially if it's the last play of the first half, they'll line him up from 70 if they have to. But first possession of the third quarter, essentially what I'm saying is I can pretty much like, I feel good about the Cowboys' ability to get 6 points. 3 points on the final possession of the first half, 3 points on the first possession of the third quarter. And so if I'm giving the Cowboys 6 points based on what the Vikings do here in the last in their possession with 2 minutes and 11, with they're at the two-minute warning now of the first half, I could be interested in a live bet here on the Dallas Cowboys. Let's see how it plays out here as we have hit the two-minute warning. Again, 14-14 is the score. On your live line right now, Cowboys minus 1.5 and a total of 59.5. I am waiting to see what happens with the Vikings here, because then I would take the Cowboys on the plus on a plus money price or plus points on the spread, knowing that they get the final possession of the first half and the first possession of the third quarter. checking in on a couple other things in progress right now as we are monitoring some live betting situations. Man, I wish we would have played that. I recommended it. I said, let's play the over 4.5 in the game, the Oilers game that I'm sweating out here with the Canadiens. That has hit. It is 4-1 Canadiens with 2 minutes remaining here in the third period. The bet that I wish we would have played was the over 2.5 in the third period, because that would have been a plus 230 cash. I said you get the plus money cash on the 2.5. The only risk was, like, overtime doesn't count for that. So, but we did get at least three goals we got already here in the third period. So that would have cashed at a plus 230 price. And sometimes you make the bet, sometimes you don't. But if you did get that live over 4.5 at minus 120, congratulations. You cashed that, as it is 4-1 Canadiens with 2 minutes to go here in regulation. NBA action in progress right now. They are in the third quarter. The Lakers and the Suns are tied at 64, and they are at the end of the first quarter. The Warriors trailing the Trail Blazers. See what I did there? 34-31. Your live lines on these games right now is the Suns minus 1.5 over the Lakers, and the Warriors minus 3.5 against the Blazers. And Golden State, once again, is trailing 34-31 at the end of the first quarter. So still plenty of game left to be played there. I was going over the divisional odds in the NFL, so I might as well give you a couple of other ones that I think are very intriguing here. Some of them that we didn't talk about. I think in the AFC East, Patriots are minus 260, Bills are plus 210. Again, a lot has to happen in order for the Bills to do it, but the win over the Patriots here on Sunday was a big step forward into accomplishing that. Still, the Patriots are in the driver's seat. And in the AFC South, Jaguars minus 145, Texans plus 120. Remember, there was a time where we gave out the Texans at plus 700 to win this division. The Texans have everything ahead of them, and this was the reason why we loved the Texans to get this done. Looking at the standings right now, Jacksonville's 10-4, and the Texans are 9-5. Texans' remaining schedule: Raiders, Chargers, and Colts. They need the Jaguars to lose a game. The Jaguars' remaining schedule: Broncos, Colts, Titans. If the Jaguars lose one of those games, these teams will be tied in the record. Then it will come down to the tiebreakers. And in the tie-breaking scenarios, the Texans have the edge. Now, they split the head-to-head, but the Texans are 4-1 in the division. If the Jaguars lose to the Colts, let's say, they would have a second divisional loss, and that would give the Texans the division. It's going to be very close. It's going to be fun to watch. I'm sitting on the plus 700, and I hope it gets there with the Houston Texans. Hey, PropheticX is offering you a 20% purchase match up to $100 when you sign up. PropheticX is the number one sports prediction market in 40-plus states, where you can trade main lines, player props, parlays, even request your own odds and bet yes or no on touchdown scorers and more. And this holiday season, be on the lookout for the 7 days of PropheticX Miss giveaway with special prizes all week long. Download PropheticX now and use promo code VSIN to get started. The Vikings have kicked a field goal. They lead 17-14 with a minute 48 to go in the first half. This is our opportunity now to jump in on the Dallas Cowboys, who are 2.5-point favorites right now on your live line. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, the college football playoffs kick off on Friday. VSiN's got the guide you need to bet on the postseason with confidence. Our college football playoff guide is out now, and it features full game previews of every first round game, plus the college football playoff overview, insider breakdowns, best bets, custom brackets from VSiN experts. My bracket's in there. You can see who I picked to win the national championship, plus Steve Mackinnon's power ratings, bowl picks across the VSiN network. And you can buy the guide right now for $14.99, or you can upgrade to VSiN Pro and get the guide included, plus full access to daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop tools, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. You can get your guide now at vsin.com/CFP. That's vsin.com/CFP. That's right. College football playoff kicks off on Friday. We got a stoppage in play here at the end of the first half. We got a Dallas Cowboy injury right now, but the Cowboys do have the football at the Minnesota 46-yard line with a minute 18 left to go here in the first half. Vikings lead 17-14 during the commercial break in between the Vikings kicking that field goal and then before they kicked off to the Dallas Cowboys. I did place a live bet on the Cowboys -2.5. This was the situation that I was explaining to you guys where the Cowboys have the final possession of the first half and the first possession of the third quarter. This is their opportunity to double dip, okay? Because of Brandon Aubrey's range, I'm essentially giving them 6 points already because I know they're going to get into Aubrey field goal range here at the end of the first half, and with the first possession of the third quarter, they can very likely do so as well. Now, I know he missed the field goal earlier. Like I said, no one's automatic, but I have a pretty good feeling I'm going to be in opportunities to get field goals and score some points here. In fact, the market agrees. The Cowboys have moved now to a 3.5-point favorite on the live line. Again, a minute 18 left to go here in the first half. Vikings lead 17-14. Now, the Vikings aren't going to do anything at the end of this half, so their stats are pretty much done here for the first half. So let me read you the stats. J.J. McCarthy, 8 of 13 passing, 142 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. Aaron Jones, 6 carries for 16 yards. Jordan Mason, 5 carries for 14 yards. Jordan Addison, 2 catches for 66 yards. Aaron Jones has 3 catches for 31 yards. Justin Jefferson, 1 catch for 12 yards. TJ Hockenson, also 1 catch for 13 yards. Josh Naylor, 1 catch for 20 yards. He scored the touchdown, but then his head hit the ground, and we hope he is okay. Here's some live props on your Minnesota Vikings players. For J.J. McCarthy, passing yardage prop right now, 242.5. That is a huge number compared to where it was before the game. His pass attempts prop, 28.5. Now, this is where I think it's intriguing because this is pretty much where it was prior to the game. In fact, hey, the line just moved right in front of me down to 27.5. So who's listening to me and placing the bets? His reception, his completions prop, again, we liked the under 18.5 before the game. It's at 17.5 right now. So it's kind of interesting that the yardage has been shot up because of what he has done already here in the first half, but the completions and the attempts actually have gone down by one. As far as your rushing props are concerned, live lines right now for the attempts for, let's see, for the Vikings, Aaron Jones, 11.5, Jordan Mason, 9.5. Both those players have had 6 and 5 carries respectively. As the Cowboys now have the ball at the 30-yard line with a little less than a minute left to go in the half. As far as the rushing yardage numbers for the Vikings players, Aaron Jones, 35.5, Jordan Mason, 31.5. Now, I like an over. I really do, especially when you consider that this was identified as a trench report game, that the Vikings should have the ability to run on the Dallas Cowboys, even though the Cowboys' rush defense, you got to give them credit, has been much improved, especially since they acquired Quinnen Williams. Their rush defense has been significantly improved, but still, the Vikings should be able to find success on the ground. The only hesitation I have here is, and this was my hesitation coming into the game, is I don't know who it's going to be. Is it Aaron Jones or Jordan Mason? And look at this split, right? 6 carries for Aaron Jones, 16 yards. 5 carries for Mason, 14 yards. Well, if I knew it was going to be one running back, you know, we're at 30 yards already for a running back. Again, can I see them both combining for over 50, over 60? Like, sure. Do I want to wager on which one it's going to be? One of them's going to go over. You have Aaron Jones at 35.5. You have Jordan Mason at 32.5. One of them is going over. I just don't know which one. So I don't have a good bet on it. But don't be surprised if at the end of the game, one of these running backs, hey, maybe it's both of them. And that would be awesome. But at least one of them is going over. Whichever one the Vikings put in the running situations more. And it might be Jordan Mason, bigger bodied guy, although Aaron Jones is shifty, but Jones has proven to be more of a pass-catching threat out of the backfield. In fact, let's look at this. So rushing and receiving yards. Aaron Jones, 78.5. My goodness, that's high. Let's see if that math maths, though. He's got 31 receiving yards right now and 16 rushing yards. So he's at 47. He's at 47. Are we expecting him to have 32.5 rushing and receiving yards in the second half? Oh, boy. You know what? I might be able to see it happen, especially if the Cowboys take the lead. He is like the third down back. He is their pass-catching threat out of the backfield. And so if the Cowboys have the lead and J.J. McCarthy's throwing, well, then, yeah, I would expect to see Aaron Jones get some receptions out of the backfield and possibly lead to more receiving yards. He already has the 3 catches for 31 yards. His reception numbers right now is at, let's see what his updated reception numbers is. His receiving yards over under right now is at 39.5. He's already at 31. So that's banking on him to have 8 more yards or 9 more yards here as the field goal for the Cowboys is up and good with 3 seconds left to go here in the first half. 17-17 is your score. And this is exactly what we wanted to happen. Cowboys get the final score at the end of the first half. They will have the first possession of the third quarter. We are now tied at 17, and your live line in the game is Cowboys -3.5. So if you played the -2.5, you're in a very good situation right now. Cowboys on the money line, -210. Yeah. But the Cowboys are in a great spot with the first possession of the third quarter coming up if they are able to, in fact, score on that first possession. Here's a cheat code right now. Let's see if we can, if you can get this bet in right now. This is a bet that you should make right now. You have only a matter of seconds, but I would bet rushing attempts. I'd go over on JJ McCarthy right now. Okay. His number is up on, it's at 4.5. Okay. Go over 4.5 right now because he's already at 2, and he's going to take a kneel down here at the end of the half, assuming that there's no run back here on this kickoff. That is a cheap way to get an extra carry, and I would place it. It's 4.5 at +140. Especially if the Cowboys are winning and they're trailing, like he's going to take off and run. Oh, wow, he ran it out of the end zone. Womp, womp. All right, well, we just lost that opportunity to get a free carry here as he ran it out of the end zone. So, well, if you didn't get a chance to put it in, great. And if you did, I still think you have a chance to hit it. But you can kind of see where I was going there with the opportunity for him to get the kneel down at the end of the half. It obviously did not happen. So we head into the locker room officially. 17-17 is your score right now on the live line. The Cowboys are a 3.5-point favorite on your live total. It is at 57.5. The Cowboys closed as 4.5-point favorites here at Circa with a total of 47.5. That's where we closed at Circa for this game here on Sunday Night Football. Monday Night Football to wrap up Week 15. The Pittsburgh Steelers currently a 3-point favorite over the Miami Dolphins with a total of 42.5. All of your second half wagers are coming up next as Dustin Sweetelson will take you through cashing out as he will have the second half action here of Sunday Night Football between the Cowboys and the Vikings. And then tomorrow morning, wake up with VSiN by the books at 7 a.m. Eastern Time, followed by a numbers game with Gil Alexander, as I'm sure there will be plenty of reaction to everything that happens here at Week 15 Sunday. Patrick Mahomes out for the rest of the season with the torn ACL. The Chiefs eliminated from postseason contention. Micah Parsons likely done with an ACL injury as well. What does it mean for the Packers' chances to win the division and their chances to represent the NFC maybe in the Super Bowl? Monitoring all of the injuries across the NFL and taking a preview at Monday Night Football as well. It's all coming up next here on VSiN. I'm Scott Seidenberg. You can hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Hit us up on the network at VSiN Live. This has been Live Bet Sunday on the Sports Betting Network.